I desire your prayers this evening, because I really hope you don't think that I misunderstood that this is a camp meeting and that I thought it was a revival meeting. But I got something I need to share with you. I want to share tonight. Are you able to take control of your mind and stop it in a direction that it's going, reel it in, and turn it in a certain direction? That's much easier to say than to be able to do. I've tried it at times at night when something comes to my mind about work. Wake up at 3 in the morning of a problem that I didn't get solved the day before at work, and it starts running over and over in my mind. There's not a thing I can do about it at 3 in the morning anyhow, and I try to stop it. It's a very hard thing to do. Tonight I have something that's much more serious than being able to just bring it in about work and things. I've got a subject that I'd like for us all to take a look at. We have sung tonight about going to heaven, and I love those songs. But there's something else before we get there that we're going to have to face. And what I'd like for us each one to do tonight is bring our minds in and forget about what we plan to do tomorrow or next week or next year. You know, there's times at work where I will, at the first of the year, project out over the year, okay, I'd like to take a vacation this time. I have plans for Monarch already. But folks, we need to realize something. We don't have a promise of tomorrow.
That's right.
The young man that they went to the funeral today that just had life ahead of him, young, and in an instant can be called out. There's an event that I'd like to talk about tonight that I'd like for us each one to try to stop our minds from everything else, reel it in for a little bit, because this today is something that we're going to have faith to believe. One day it will be a reality. I'd like for us to take a look at it. In Revelation 20, and in the 11th verse, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. We're living in a time today where in many places they're saying you're going to remove the Ten Commandments. We will not allow them to be posted where people can have a memory of them, that they need to be obeyed. We need to reel in our minds sometime, because if we're not careful, we will become affected by that. For years, they have worked on removing prayer from public places and been successful in many times. But while all that's going on, there's an event coming that is going to be so serious that looking upon him, it says the heaven and earth wants to flee away. We sang a song a while ago, number 484. When men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. Do we really believe that tonight? Do we believe there's a coming a time when my actions are going to be dealt with? I'm going to stand before this great white throne, and I'm going to have to face the deeds that have been done in the body. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know, tonight we're going to have faith to believe that's even possible. That every person that has lived since Adam and Eve will somehow appear. And they say the earth is overcrowded today. But there's going to be something happen that each person will come back and stand before this throne. We will. I will. You will. It says, and there was another book open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Tonight, through this day, your works have been recorded. And those works are not just the things you did that people could have seen. They're also the things that you allowed your thoughts, those secret things, to go to. In the last of Ecclesiastes, let's just take a look at that before we go on with this. The last two verses, desire your prayers tonight, because this is something that we're each one going to face. And we are living in a time where so much of the fear of God is lost on our land. And if we're not careful, I will start measuring myself by those around me, and I'll come up short. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. No matter what happens around us, no matter if the day comes that nobody can post the Ten Commandments, here it is, fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And we can say, well, it's okay if all the Ten Commandments are publicly taken down. We can still believe it in our heart, and that's true. But it's a reflection on society. It's a reflection of where our country has gone. And I'm living here. I need to be real careful. Because there's another verse while we're in Ecclesiastes that is causing this to happen. There was a time when God punished sin immediately, when people fell over dead when they sinned. If that happened today, our nation would be totally different than it is now. It's even like with capital punishment. When someone is punished and they say, the next one we catch, we'll do it that same way, it puts fear in people. I know there's punishment coming for it. We're living in a time now where we're in a day of mercy. But in 8 and 11 of Ecclesiastes, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because punishment doesn't come down, justice from God, lightning strike. I can remember as a child, Madeline O'Hara coming on the radio one night, and I could hear it at home, an atheist. And she was at a college or somewhere talking to a lot of people. And she said, folks, I want to prove to you tonight there's no God. She said, because what I want to happen publicly is if there is a God, I ask Him tonight to strike me dead. And there was silence. Looks like a perfect time for God to cause some fear to come on some people. But you know what? Then she spoke up again and said, this is proof there is no God. He's done nothing. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And we're wanting to be able to sing about heaven tonight. That next verse says, this is what I need to be able to do. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it'll be well with them that fear God. Though sin goes all around me, and it seems like it goes unpunished, and it seems like they flourish, keep in mind, folks, it's not over yet. We've got something that we're all going to face. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of God. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those people that died on the Titanic will come back one day. They will stand before this great white throne. We better have faith to believe it. Just the word of God is all I need to tell me it's going to happen. It said, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And again it says, they were judged, every man according to their works. Today our works are being recorded. They're written down. And those that are evil, unless I repent of them, but before this day happens, I'll meet it there one day. Amen. And yet we're living in a time where people can be so boldly cannot be afraid of this event. That last verse says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do we believe it? We need to have faith to believe that my life tonight is being recorded. When you are nowhere around me and I have an opportunity to do wrong, I need to remember God is everywhere. He's recording it, and one day I will stand before Him and it'll be judged. It tells us in Hebrews 12 and 28, that I need to serve him with reverence and a godly fear. As I take a picture of this event, I need to store it in my mind and I need to bring it back on a regular basis. As the world gets more and more wicked, as they cut God more and more out of our nation, I need to remember this event is still coming.
Amen.
And I will stand before him one day. Because there's a song that I want to share with you. Many of you older ones have heard it before. There are people today that have lost the fear of God on their heart.
Yeah.
And would be willing to stand before him anyway. I had an uncle one time that my mom was concerned about him. Talked to him. Told him, Ellis, don't be lost. His reply, I plan to be lost. I plan to help the devil shovel coal. There's many people have lost the fear of God on their heart. There was a song that was written years ago that tells about the fear of God being lost. It was written by a friend of Frank Sinatra's. It was given to him, and he sang it. I'd like to read you the verses of it. Speaking as if I'm fixing to stand before this great white throne, do I have any fear about it? And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friends, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And much, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, and I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. And much, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and I spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and I did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. But now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing. To think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The records show I took the blows, and I did it my way. Yes, it was my way. Can you imagine on the day that he stepped before this great white throne? My way. The one from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And I want to tell him, I did it my way. And maybe I would say, I have a knowledge of the truth. I would never do that. I would never say that. I'd like for us to look at a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, my way. But the end thereof are the ways of death. It said about this song, I looked it up on the internet the other day. this song was also sung by Elvis Presley. And it said that this song is the most popular funeral song sung in funerals of Great Britain. Can you imagine desiring, when I die, I would like to be able to have that song sung. I did it my way. It says on that verse about every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I looked at the commentary on that. It says every man feels strongly attached to his own opinions, his modes of acting, etc. And though he will not give up anything to the judgment of a neighbor whom he will naturally consider at least as fallible as himself, yet he should consider that the unerring eye of God is upon him, and he should endeavor to see that what he does is acceptable in the eye of his Maker. And I wonder, I don't want to add anything to the scripture tonight when we stand before the great white throne, but I have to wonder, did Frank Sinatra hear that song in tones as he stepped before God, the great God of heaven, and saying, I did it my way? Where he said, to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. What are the words of one who kneels? It's submission. It's begging for mercy. I see who I am and who you are, and I need your help. Folks, that doesn't just happen on the day that we get saved. It happens every day the rest of my life that I realize I cannot find the way alone. Without your help, I'm going to make decisions that sound right to me, but in the end, I'm going to be lost. So tonight, I want to ask you, how do you see God? How do I see Him? In the world today, there are many people that says He's the man upstairs. Isaiah took a look at Him, and he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. We need, in this world that we're living in right now, it's like a merry-go-round that is spinning faster and faster. I get up in the morning, I go to work, I eat, I sleep. Tomorrow I do it again, and it's spinning faster and faster. Folks, there's a time we need to shut it down. And I need to bring this scene back before me, because if I'll do it, it will start governing my life. It then starts saying, Dan, you would do that. When you're going to stand before this one who the heavens and the earth are going to want to flee away from, there will be people that will be begging for rocks and mountains to fall on them, and you're willing to do that? Folks, if we can get it in our mind in this day and time that we're living in, where folks are stopping the Ten Commandments, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be reminded of it. It comes around us. It can start eating on me. I can start justifying things in my life, and I've done it in the past. Things that, if I really believed that I would stand before that one from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, I'd do it different. There's a song that says, Oh soul, be afraid. I want to tell you, saved and sanctified folks need to have a fear of God on their heart. We need to realize I'm going to stand before God. And should it be 20 years before I leave out of here, Lord, help me that somewhere between here and there, I don't lose this vision. Amen. And I start saying, I believe He will settle for less, because I'm hearing it all around me. Yes. O soul, be afraid. Thou shalt reckon with God. Soul, be afraid, for the judgment shall come. Yes. O soul, be afraid. In His presence thou art. Dismayed thou shalt stand when Christ says to depart. We need to have a fear of God on our heart, that no matter how much it's diminished in the world around me, that it's a strong driving factor in my life. It helps to govern the things that I allow and the things that I discard out of my life. There's another verse I'd like to look at. Romans 14 and 10. Right at the last of that verse, it says, For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. He knows it's going to happen. And there are people today saying, I won't do it. He says, every knee is going to do it. every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I need to have that always just in front of me, governing my life. Because what about for me today? Saved and sanctified, are there any dangers for me? There is a verse that through the years we have used in Isaiah 4 and 1. It says there will be a day when seven women will take hold of one man, saying, we want to eat our own bread, want to wear our own apparel, but I want to be called by your name, so it'll take away my reproach. Now, I don't want to take that and say that means this. It had another meaning back then, but I want to tell you, I believe it applies tonight. It is possible for me. I wouldn't go stand before God with Frank Sinatra's song, but if I'm not careful, as a Christian, I'll come to the place where I say, I want to do it my way.
That's right.
It comes close to home. It has done it to me. Have you ever had trouble looking around at what others are doing and spend your time trying to decide how they will stand before God? Folks, I need to cut all that loose.
Yeah.
I need to focus on myself. Peter had that problem. When Jesus came to him and said, Peter, I want you to follow me. Before he ever started following, he looked around and he said, what about this man here? What's he going to do? If we're not careful, we will lose focus of this scripture that we started out with tonight. And we will start spending our time looking around at who else we think is going to make it or not make it. A few years ago, and I believe we probably would all like to be able to have this, but I came to the Lord and I said, would you please help me to be able to get some glimpse of eternity? I believe it would help me. I want to make it. Would you give me some glimpse? And one night I had a dream and it was as clear. I thought I was there. I could take you to the place in Guthrie where the picture of this dream started. And as I was looking, I was at the back porch of somebody's house there, looking up the hill, and I saw this big building that it's been there ever since I can remember in Guthrie. It started just moving across the ground and fell over. You know, when we have something happen that's out of the ordinary, do you remember 9/11? Did you start thinking, whoa, is this the end? When anything way out of the ordinary comes, our mind is shocked to the point that we say, this could be it. Sometimes a very loud noise. When I was working two blocks away from the Murrow building when it exploded. And that noise and the crashing, well, if you have any seriousness about you at all and knowledge of the end, it'll make you think quick. Could it be possible that this is it? Well, in this dream, that's what I saw. I saw it start moving and fall over. And then all around me, out of the ground, came little things of smoke coming up. And in my mind, I knew this is it. And I want to tell you, it'll bring seriousness to your mind. But there was something that happened in that I hope to never forget. Because in the past, I've had trouble spending my time looking around at what others are doing. I was by myself when it started. But immediately, I saw, like this picture tells us, they all came before him to be judged. There were people everywhere. But there was something that happened to me at that instant. I didn't look at anybody and wonder. I wonder if they're going to make it. I only focused on myself. It was as if there was no one else in the world but me. All focus turned inward right then. And I want to tell you, folks, we need to keep that before us all the time. Because if I'm not careful, I will start looking at you. I will start looking at others and saying, I wonder about them. When all the time I need to focus on, even though everyone will be there, it will be as if I'm the only one standing there. And at that instant, I woke up. And I want to tell you, I hit the floor. begging God to help me to be ready when that time comes. Not spending any more time looking around, but I want to be ready. There was a man, Brother Michael mentioned yesterday, that should our Bible be taken, let me have the songbook. There are some songs in there that men of God have received from the Lord that will make you feel like you're standing at the brink of eternity. God gave that to them for a purpose, for us to be able to reflect a little bit and bring ourselves back to reality, to shake us at times to say, hey, this world isn't all of it. If we're not careful, we'll get to thinking about the things that I want to accumulate, retirement that I want to be able to have down the road, and all the time this scene awaits me. In this songbook, there's been something that has stirred me. The story of D.O. Teasley. A man that had it purposed in his heart, I'm going to make it. The Lord gave him visions, gave him songs, gave him a song that every time I sing it, it stirs me. That's song number 409. A vision like what the Lord gave me to remind me. Dan, don't miss it. He gave D.O. Teasley a vision. It says, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed. My understanding was he was standing at the entrance of a graveyard, looking out over the tombstones where many a pilgrim had passed out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed, and musing in silent devotion. He had an opportunity, D.O. Teasley at this time, had an opportunity to draw his mind in from everything else. And he wrote this song. Musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. And strange from the choir of the faithful, I seemed in my fancy to hear. Says I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years, and I thought of the fate of the guilty. When Christ in his glory appears, a shudder came over my spirit. This is D.O. Teasley receiving something from the Lord. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. This is where we stand before God to give account of the deeds done in the body. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. The moment of temptation that comes to you, and in one moment you have accepted it and crossed the line that will cause you to be lost unless you repent. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost, for eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. He saw this vision of Revelation 20, I believe. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to his great judgment seat, and I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. For time, who has laid many millions to slumber in death's silent shade, shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. D.O. Teasley had that vision. And I've asked the Lord for mine. Don't let me ever forget it. Don't let me drift from it.
Amen.
I wonder if he asked the same thing. Because it's our understanding, a snare was laid for D.O. Teasley, and he fell. Never plan to be lost. And I wonder, as I thought about this other song, I did it my way. When we stand at Monarch after a soul-searching message and we sing 409, does D.O. Teasley hear it? We're told in the scripture there's memory in eternity. When we look at the picture of the rich man and Lazarus, probably the most vivid that will ever be given of what it's like to go to hell. And he was told, son, remember. That means you can think back to beforehand. Memory right now is a great blessing from God. In eternity, to the lost, it'll be a curse.
Yes.
The times that I could have, righted my wrongs. The times that I could have made a change. And folks, this isn't just to the sinner. It's to me. Because if I'm not careful, though, I wouldn't sing Frank Sinatra's song. I can start doing it my way. There was a scene in Pilgrim's Progress, right toward the end of his journey, of Christian's journey. He met up with a man named Ignorance. Christian understood you've got to have a certificate to be accepted at the end. When he asked Ignorance about it, Ignorance said, "No, I don't have it, but I feel in my heart that I'm going to make it." Do you remember in the psalmist there in 73? It says, "My feet just almost slipped because I saw that in the wicked's death, there's no bands. It just seems like everything is going well." As I read this story, when Christian came down to the river of death, you would think that would be just one sweet crossing. But you know what? To the Christian, he's not home yet. The devil has one more opportunity to fight him to the end. Don't want to let this one get away. If you've read it, you remember the tussle that Christian had as he was going through the river of death and thoughts came to him of the past. Things that he had done in the past, even though they had been righted, even though they had been corrected, an onslaught for him to miss it in the end. But he made it over. And that picture, then as we sing of heaven, for him to walk up to the gate and hand over his certificate and the doors to swing open, folks, it'd be worth everything we have to put out to make it. Because it said that Ignorance came to that same river of death and he had no fear. He had no trouble in the crossing. Bunyan said in that dream, what he saw of Ignorance was, he didn't even have to go through the water. Didn't get wet. So there was a man in a boat that rowed him across. Why the difference? We're not home yet. Said he walked up to the gate as confidently, stood at the gate asking for it to be opened. And they said, "Where's your certificate?" He was speechless. All the time that he did it his way and thought, "Sure, I'll be able to get in at the last." That response stirred me. It said they came out, took hold of him, carried him to a door, opened, and threw him in. And in this vision, he said, "I beheld that from the gates of heaven is also the door of hell. To those that did it their way and said, 'I still believe I'll make it,' to get right there at the end and be told it won't happen and to be lost forever." It brought a sadness to me because I thought about Agrippa. He came so close. He said, "You just almost persuaded me to be a Christian." There's a song that says, "Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. It won't be enough." Do you remember we call him the rich young ruler, that came to Jesus and said, "I want to make it. What can I do to be able to make it?" And he gave him the Ten Commandments. And he said, "I've been doing those from a child. What do I still lack to be able to make what we're talking about tonight?" And he told him, "There's something else still that you need to be able to do." Did that young man accept it? He didn't do it. Said he went away sorrowful. And I've had to wonder in my mind, how did he live the rest of his life? Did he say, "Well, I tell you what, if I'm not going to make it anyhow, I'm going to throw away the Ten Commandments and I'm going to live however I want to live. I'll live like the prodigal son." I don't believe it. I believe he said, maybe not saying it out loud, but in his heart, I did it my way. I believe I can make it this way. I believe he still lived as careful as he had lived before. But he was lost in the end, unless some change came to him. You remember in the 6th chapter of John, at the beginning of that chapter, God's chosen people loved Jesus so much that they wanted to make him king. By the end of that chapter, it said many of them had gone away and followed him no more. To the point that he asked the 12 that were with him, "What about it? Are you also going to go away?" And they said, "To whom shall we go?" I've thought about that chapter. I wonder what all those folks did that wanted him to be king. Did they just throw away the Jewish religion and say, "We won't live the careful life"? You know, after Jesus was crucified, the chief priests went on making sacrifices until the destruction of Jerusalem. When that avenue of salvation was gone. You remember when the Jews when Jesus was fixing to be crucified, "I tell you what, let his blood be on us and on our children." There is a verse in Acts, I believe, 4:12. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved." From the time of Jesus until today, how many Jews have been born and died that rejected the Son of God? Did it their way. Maybe obeyed the Old Testament exactly. But they stood before this great white throne from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. And then it was all reckoned with. So I have to look at myself. Because there's a danger of me living my life with the desire for your approval. Ananias and Sapphira got caught in that. They came to church with everybody else. They looked around and everybody else felt like the end is fixing to come. And we're selling those things, giving it because we think it's soon coming to an end. And Ananias and Sapphira somehow didn't have that full belief. And yet, if I don't sell it, I'm not a part of the group. Something happened in their heart. They sold it. That was okay. They brought some money to hand to Peter. That was okay. But what he said was, "You have lied in your heart. Did you sell it for this much?" "Yeah." And both were struck dead. We don't have that happen nowadays. But I tell you, I want to be very careful. Because I'm going to stand before this great white throne and the one from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. That's what I need to have in my life for direction. It's got to be something more than your approval. Because if your approval is the only thing that drives my life, then if you're not watching, I'm not as concerned. I have mentioned this before. There was a time when I was between 14 and 16. When I lived at home, Mom and Dad set rules in the home. As long as you live in this home, here's how you live. Well, I came to a point that I didn't want to live that way. But I found it would be more peaceful in the home if I acted like I was living that way. Those times where in the Old Testament God struck people down for the lives that they lived, I'm so thankful he didn't do it to me. Because there was a time that I made choices in my life. And I pretended. I would meet with friends of the world and curse right with them. Then go to church on Wednesday night because I knew it would make Mom and Dad happy. And thank God for what He's done for me. What I'm thankful for is that God saved me from that.
Praise God. Thank the Lord.
Because it wouldn't have been worth it if I would have lived the rest of my life in Hammond and LaRonger. And at the time of my death, the preacher get up and say, "Dan made heaven his home." That testimony he gave Wednesday night was a fiery one. It was a good one, telling about what God had done for him. Folks, it's not what anybody says about us that is going to help us to be able to make it. It's this one that I'm going to stand before that knows the deeds that I have done. So Jeremiah 10 and 23 says, "O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to be able to direct his steps." I'm going to come up with something. I'm going to find an easier way. And then I want to read one more verse, because I need to have the same prayer that the psalmist had. Psalms 139 and 23. "I need a searching to be done, and I don't want to wait until I stand before that great white throne. I need it to be done today. It says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Today's my opportunity to make adjustments. I need to be honest before the Lord, realizing all the time, every day of my life, I need to rein in my thoughts. I need to remember that it doesn't matter if the Bible is taken away. It doesn't matter if the Ten Commandments are gone from every state. I will stand before the one from whose face the heaven and the earth wanted to flee away. There's a song, number 405. I'd like for us to sing it. This song is no longer looking at you and wondering what's going to happen in your life. This song, it says, eternity draws near as time moves on. When earth shall disappear, I shall have gone, as if there's no one else here but me, out in the great unknown to reap what I have sown. Summoned before the throne, then where shall I go? Tonight we have talked about coming up before the judgment seat. This song takes it one step further. Where shall I go? Where shall I go from the great judgment seat? Once that judging has happened, and I move now to my long home, my eternal home, where shall I go? I desire your prayers, because I want to have a carefulness on my life that is not affected by, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his day be prolonged, I know that I'm going to stand before the God of heaven. I desire your prayers.